Nick and Matt Jackson. You're listening to the Work Shoot Wrestling Podcast.
Too sweet!
Suck it!
Welcome to an all-new episode of the Work Shoot Wrestling Podcast. This is Corey Richmond, joined by Jason Brooks. You can check us out on all forms of social media, at Work Shoot Pod, and also on Instagram, at Work Shoot Pod. And of course, as we mentioned last week, new venture coming in the next few weeks. Let's Talk AEW, and you can follow me there on Twitter, at Let's Talk AEW. Jason, another interesting week of wrestling. Of course, the biggest story of them all is NXT 2.0 and AEW selling out Newark and having, I think, a really fun show. I was there live. And, of course, Big E Langston winning the WWE title. Jay, how you doing today?
I'm good. Good. Long week with work and everything, but it's been good. Good week of wrestling, some big stories, some interesting things happened. We got a brand new NXT, which everyone's been clamoring for. But looking forward to talking about it with you.
And for the people watching on video, what is the beer of the week that you are reporting just there?
Yeah, so it's a beer brewery from Illinois called Phase 3. People in Illinois may know it. And they did a collaboration with the brewery that a lot of people know called Other Half. And it's called All Pixel Everything. It's one of the best beers I've ever had in my life. So
that is some high praise. You are a beer guy.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely incredible. So there's no more available, so you can't buy it, I don't think. But probably you have to go to Phase 3 to get it. But anyway, it's a great beer. So
very cool. And Jay, let's start off, like I said, with the, I think, most likely the biggest story of this week, and which might be the biggest, one of the bigger stories as long as we're doing the podcast, as we count down to 300, the new NXT 2.0, what WWE's developmental has become. For those who have watched in the past, know that, you know, Jay's favorite weekly show was NXT. You know, our usual thing is a 3-week rule. We'll get something 3 weeks and then we'll just say, uh-oh. What was your thoughts of NXT 2.0 after week one?
Well, it was hard, right? Because they had a big title match. They had a wedding, which I thought was a blast. Laughed out loud several times. So if you take those things out, because you kind of have to, right? You're not going to have a wedding every week. They're certainly not going to have a big title match every week. I thought the show was interesting.
You
had Braun, someone named Braun Breaker. That's not even a real person's name. He came out with Rick Steiner's whole thing with the singlet, but they didn't mention that he was Rick Steiner's kid because I guess they don't want to mention it, which makes no sense to me. It'd be a great way to put him over to fans, but instead he's this Braun Breaker, generic looking person. They have him beat Eli or LA Knight. It was a Von Wagner. Where did they come up with these names too? They're the most generic fucking names. So they give him this name. He's in the match. And listen, he looked impressive in a title match. I just wonder where they're, I wonder the comings and goings here in the next month or so. Who is staying? Who's going? Why did we not get a women's title match? What happened to that? So, I mean, we'll break it down more, but I don't, this is not the NXT that I knew, but, and I know we'll get into the specifics, but I will say this, and one positive, I thought the show looked better, way better. I thought it was too dark, it was too dreary looking, the show looked way better, the audience seemed into it, so from that standpoint, it was definitely a positive.
Yeah, I mean, I share pretty much everything you said there. I mean, I thought that if the idea is to make new stars and bring people into the fold, I think it was a very successful first episode. Do I think that there were problems with it? Sure. Do I think B-Fab is not ready for the main stage? And if this was, you know, OVW or FCW back, you know, 10 years ago, and she was just on a regional television program, that'd be fine. But I think that's kind of is an example of what the problem is going to be for a lot, especially fans like us who were used to this high work rate show with interesting storylines and characters. But when your idea is to find the next person who's going to headline WrestleMania, which of course should be everyone's goal, but you're finding the next huge, you know, super athlete, you're going to see a lot of hits and misses. And when you're on the USA Network, I don't know if the average person is going to care that much. They did amazing in the ratings. I think they had over 700,000 people, which is the best rating they've had, I think, since mid-July or May. My apologies if that's incorrect there. But I don't know if I wasn't – and I this is how I kind of judge things. If I wasn't doing a wrestling podcast, would I watch this? And it's I'm going to give it 3 weeks like everything. But after week one, yeah, the wedding was really good. You might have a future star in Braun Strowman, whatever the hell his name is.
Braun Breaker. Yeah, Braun Breaker. I break bronze.
And for those who don't know, Rick Steiner, the famous Steiner Brothers' son, I just don't know what we're doing here. I mean, you didn't have anything.
I mean, Corey, I know what we're doing. They're trying to get. Apparently, they think that Cal Bloom's kid, the Von Wagner or whatever his name is going to be the next headliner of WrestleMania. Or not the next headliner. He thinks he could be a WrestleMania headliner. They like him a lot. I mean, I think that they are going to pump these young guys up. Here's my problem. And this is what I would ask you. So they have all these young guys. But when they had developmental, when it was even their hour show, they would supplement them with indie guys. The Sami Zayns, the Kevin Owens. Those guys were still on the show and a big part of the show while they developed other young guys. Now is the show just going to be full of just all young guys? And I know they had Ciampa win the title. I get that. But, you know, one thing they used to do with NXT booking-wise is when a guy made his debut, unless he was Samoa Joe or Shinsuke Nakamura or Kevin Owens, he always lost. Always lost. They fast-tracked Wagner, whatever his name is, to the title match. Braun Breaker apparently is going to get a title shot here at some point. I mean, they are rushing these guys to them. No character development. No promos. We don't know anything about these people. The one promo package we got, the guy basically acted like he was from The Sopranos. I mean... we'll see. But I'll say this. We have a few weeks left to go in our podcast. The Workshoot Wrestling podcast is going away for a while, maybe forever. I will be watching AEW, and I'll hopefully be coming on your podcast. Let's talk AEW. But
thank you for the cheap plug.
I surely will not be – I don't think I'll be watching NXT. I don't think I'll be able to. That being said, you know, who knows? We'll see. Anything could happen. But I don't know, Corey.
Let me ask you this, though. And I think I mentioned this in my when we were speaking even before yesterday, initially, when I saw the show. If this was on, like, you know, if this was FCW or, you know, you were back in Rochester, you know, pre-having, you know, your two wonderful twins coming in a couple of months. And, you know, you're watching, you know, for the first time, these guys, would you have more of an interest in watching this? Is it slightly time related that you have to pick and choose what you're going to watch? Or is it you're afraid what the product's going to be? And even if this was, you know, back watching it on regional cable, if you got it, it's not even good enough for your time. Because that's where kind of where I am. Like I was saying,
yeah,
before,
I think
it would be more of a leash.
You know, I think Ring of Honor has some good shows. I think, you know, Impact does some good things. I mean, maybe we're really putting a cart before the horse for the next team, and we need to give it some time to see what they do. For me, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to have as much time. I think the reason it'd be harder for me maybe to watch every week is just because I'd be so sad. Seriously. I mean, Corey, seriously. These takeovers have set the standard for wrestling pay-per-views. They have set the standard. When I thought about All Out and how good it was, I compared it to great takeovers of the past. You know, that's what it compares to. And that's all gone. You can say NXT might still be a good show and have some pluses and minuses, sure. But what we saw with takeovers, I think is gone. Like, I don't think that's happening anymore. And I think with this draft that's coming up, And who knows if they do the opening, the draft up to
NXT possibly.
NXT or whatever. But if they do, it's really going to change things.
Yeah.
It's really going to, I mean, I don't see Raquel Gonzalez being there. Frankie Monet probably is going to be gone. I think a bunch of the women that are there could be gone. And then the women's division is going to possibly suffer a little bit. So it's not that I think the show is going to be terrible. I don't think the show will be terrible, but I don't know that the show will be what I've enjoyed watching for a long time. Even the booking was a problem for me with fast tracking these guys. So, I mean, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, so one of the things I find interesting about this is what's going to happen to the guys that were the mainstays of the past. Of course, we had Adam Cole.
They gone.
Like I said, we had Adam Cole, who was a mainstay, just debuted with AEW, came across as a star, seeing there in person, and also we watching it on TV, you know, later on the night. But, you know, we just saw that Pete Dunne signed a new 3-year contract. Johnny Gargano's contract is up in December. We spoke before the show. You think he's going to stay? You've got Ciampa. You've got Joe there. Do these people just slowly migrate to the main roster, in your opinion? Or do they just become the gatekeepers and you hope that they can carry these people and teach people to have good matches? I mean, what do you think happens?
I mean, Corey, they need somebody there who knows what they're doing, right? They need somebody there who knows what they're doing to make this look good on television. So I think Gargano stays. I think Ciampa stays. Samoa Joe's had these injury problems, so I don't know what's going on with him. I think what they do with the women will be interesting. You know, Raquel Gonzalez, we know Raw is kind of it's just a terrible show, but they need an injection. So maybe Raquel Gonzalez goes to Raw.
Dakota Kai goes to SmackDown.
So, right, you start to see that happening. So I think the women, I can see moving around for sure. So, yeah, I mean, it can go a bunch of different ways, but I think that's the veteran standard bearers who have been there with NXT, Roderick Strong, I think they'll keep them around.
Hey, and you know what? I thought that was I think that was actually one of the better parts of the show. You feel bad for Tyler Rust or Russ Tyler, whatever you want to call him, unfortunately losing his job. But the new formation of Diamond Mine, I think, could be one of the things that will be interesting to see as NXT grows and how some of these characters grow, especially with, you know, a Malcolm Bivens as their voice, to see, you know, what these the twins do there and this new woman that they just brought in who basically was, I guess, either one or the standout of The Rock's reality show, The Titan Games. I mean, she looked like a super athlete. I mean, that's kind of what this is. NXT 2.0 is the land of the former football players and the super athletes.
That's all that it is. I mean, there's not one person who is like, this person wrestled before. Everyone is an ex-football player, an ex-amateur wrestler, the next tight end, Titan game. Everyone's in. And I mean, Corey, here's what I think. We talked about before Vince saying, oh, AEW, I don't care about AEW. I don't give a shit about AEW. Is he not trying to build the anti-AEW? He, instead of having small indie guys, what is he doing? He's having big guys and big gals. Former tight ends, former football players, all people similar to Roman Reigns, no ex-indie guy. And I think that's interesting. It's an interesting kind of gamble to do. Instead of building a good company with a diverse group of wrestlers, he's trying to just basically saying, like, I don't give a shit about NXT. It's just going to be these big guys who I hope make it to the main roster and make it to WrestleMania. And I think it's interesting. But I do think he's building almost the anti-AEW. And in some ways, it is smart. It's smart because you're not going to be able to compete with AEW's roster in terms of in-ring talent, most likely, on a consistent basis. And so let's have all these big guys and see what they can do. I think it's fascinating to see where they go with it, but you have to have people who can work so they can help these young guys get better. But I think that could leave NXT. I think that could leave NXT being a real mishmash of a show that's booked pretty chaotically, i.e. Raw.
Yeah, I think last thing on this before we move on, I think it's going to be interesting, like I kind of said before, on what happens to the people that we yes, of course, we'll try to care about the new characters and see what develops. And we hope maybe we have the next Big E who, you know, started NXT and now we'll talk about later on the show is the new world champion in WWE. But, you know, what do you do with characters and how long do they stay in, you know, in NXT? Is for these people who are green as grass, who are just starting out, who are first thing is being on TV. And I guess kind of the thing that is interesting is here, you had such a backlog of people in the NXT Performance Center who never made TV, and now they're all going to basically get their shot. But it's to see where they go and how long, like, what will be the process? Is somebody going to be in NXT for 6 months and then get thrown into the main roster, and that's your honing being on TV? And it's kind of what you heard about, like, the indie guys when they first came in, the reason why they were in NXT, and some of them stayed a lot longer, but was to learn how to be a TV star. You know, I wonder what the growth process is. Are they going to be like, this person isn't, this guy looks like a TV star, but he's really not ready to be on Monday Night Raw and we'll keep him here for a year? Or is the push going to be just find new guys, rotate every 6 months and bring up, you know, Braun something or other, Hackenschmidt over here in 6 months, you know, he beats Ciampa for the title, gives it up to somebody else, and then he comes up to the main roster, you know.
I think that's what it's going to be. I think it's going to be like I talked about a few weeks ago, like the NFL training. Every year, new crop, they can't make it, cut them. New crop, can't make it, cut them. I think that's what it's going to be. I really do. They're talking about this one kid already, the Gable Stevenson kid, that he's basically going to be on the main roster right after he graduates college.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So he may, they're literally building a ring around, like they're building a training center for him. So they're building a trainer center for him near his college. So he's going to wrestle still. He's going to go to college. He's getting paid by the WWE because of NIL. And he's going to train. And I think he's going to be on Raw immediately. Now, you know, hopefully he's the guy.
Hopefully he's the next. Hopefully he picks this up like Kurt Angle did, and he doesn't pick it up, not pick it up like other, you know, super athletes in the past have.
I think it's a really, really fascinating experiment, and it's something that, you know, I'm looking forward to watching to see how it plays out. Because listen, NXT, like it's over. NXT, as we know it, is over. But what is it going to look like moving forward, and how is it going to be a real show? You know, NXT has always felt like a wrestling show where they try to develop guys. Is this just going to be a show where they just throw shit together? They have young guys. They rotate the young guys. You don't really know what you're going to see week to week. I feel like that's more what it's going to be. And, you know, we'll see if that's what it turns out to be. And if that's what it turns out to be, who's going to want to watch this shit? Who's going to want to watch this? Every couple of months, you get rotated new guys. They're all green as grass. I don't know.
Hey, we will continue to follow this and more stories around, you know, WWE and the things that do interest. We will definitely talk about over the next 5 to 6 weeks as we count down to new and exciting opportunities for everyone. Jay, I was at AEW Dynamite last night, which was a very interesting experience in person. Our seats were better, you know, a couple of weeks ago in Chicago. Also, a lot less people in Chicago.
Oh boy! How many people does the Prudential Center hold?
I think it's about 14,000. I think.
Okay. 14 or 15. Right. Were you pretty high up?
Second level. I mean, we had awesome seats, and you could see everything was really good seats. I mean, there were bigger problems as a result of the show with the fact of, you know, it took about 600 years to get, you know, chicken fingers and whatever other awful, you know, stadium food they had there. But that's for another time, you know, sorry, for another time. But I thought it was a really interesting experience. You know, we had Dynamite, and then they also taped Rampage on that show. So, and we didn't get there. My group of people didn't get there in time to watch the matches that they taped for Elevation, which I guess the new way of doing it is they're going to tape Elevation from, I guess, like 7 to like 7:45, and then do Dynamite, take a couple of minute break to change the rings and everything, and then do Rampage, and then, you know, whatever go home thing to say thank you very much to the crowd.
Ooh, that's a long day. So that's wait a minute. So that's 5 hours, right? An hour for Elevation.
A little more than four.
Okay. Yeah. An hour for Elevation, 2 hours for Dynamite, an hour for Ramp. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Right. That's and like I said, it's a couple minutes to change the ring and your different things. Yeah.
That's a long day.
Well, speaking of long days, we'll talk about that in a minute. Next Wednesday from Arthur Ashe Stadium, we're going to be getting 4 hours worth of programming. You could have a 2-hour Dynamite and then a special 2-hour Rampage, all taped on the same night. So that's going to be super interesting on how they deal with that. But we'll get to that.
The fans being
super tired and maybe a little cranky by the end of Rampage.
It's like, all right, everyone gets a free shot of espresso. Just a free shot of espresso. We're just gonna give them to you guys. But yeah, no, that's interesting.
So, what was your thoughts? And like, so I'll get some more of my thoughts as we go along on being there live and stuff that I had to watch on TV later on because I did long lines. But what was your thoughts on AEW this week? And kind of what your thoughts have been, you know, kind of as we've gone into this new era of AEW with basically the super free agents.
Yeah. So things will come up as I'm going here. CM Punk's great on commentary. He's so fucking good on commentary. Like, I love listening to him. He does a great job of putting people over, but also he's got that dry sense of humor, but he's also not over the top and he compliments people well. Like, I think he's tremendous. They've really saved the announce table for him. And so I thought that segment was pretty well done with Will Hobbs. I thought they did a good job there, unlike when it was kind of done very hastily. But I thought that was done well. I thought the Danielson thing I thought was interesting. I thought it was better. I thought it was interesting. He said, I don't care about the title. I just want to wrestle you. Because you say you're the best, and I want to fight the best. So I like that it could be a non-title match, and I hope that's where they go.
It will be a non-title match.
Yeah. So I like that it's a non. I really like that it's a non-title match. He's not like, I'm just gonna fight for the title because I'm Daniel Bryan and I wrestled at WrestleMania main event a couple months ago. So I really like that. I would like for him to do the Yes Chance, but you know, it's all good.
I don't think they can legally do that. I think that's
Tony Khan's like, why can't they? so you know, we'll see about that. You know, the main event was fine. You know, someone described it as like a go home show for the shows next week, and that's really what it felt like. I enjoyed the Chris Jericho Dan Lambert segment. My only issue is Dan Lambert is a really good talking piece, but Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky can talk too. And so I don't love the idea that they didn't talk at all. And you also know they have no chance of winning, right? Like, I feel like they have zero chance of winning the match. And then it's like, you know, kind of another annoying thing where they lose again. So, you know, I mean, the only heels that seem to do well on there are MJF and the Elite. So, you know, that could be a little bit of a problem. But overall, I thought it was like a pretty fun, entertaining show. Clearly, they're setting up Andrade to be paired with like Ric Flair at some point. That clearly seems to be where they're going. So overall, definitely a solid show, definitely a fun show. But what was it like to be there live?
So that was
especially compared to Dynamite a couple of weeks ago in Chicago, where you were there live. Like, how would you compare the two experiences?
It's always interesting that felt like, I'm sure I've been in bigger arenas, you know, for wrestling, because you know we were there together for, you know, multiple times to see WWE in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And I've been to a hockey game at the Rock. That's where the New Jersey Devils play. But if maybe it was because of the enthusiasm of the crowd, it felt huge. You know, that was one of the things that I noticed, that the difference. And I understand maybe it's like only a couple thousand more people, but the difference between the Prudential Center and the Sears Center, or the Now Arena, I guess, which it's called, which I think that holds a little bit more than 10, and this one holds around 14 or 15,000 people. But one of the things that was very similar was the fact that these AEW fans find something to care about in every segment. I don't know how much they cared about like some of the women's segments later on in the night for Rampage, which you'll see on Friday, but it really felt like they cared. I mean, once again, you had the thing with the Jericho. They cut off the music, and the fans, this wasn't piped in. These fans, just love Jericho.
You could tell it wasn't piped in.
I mean, one of the problems though with the show was, and maybe it was the fact that we were higher up, but the idea, the fact that like when Dan Lambert was talking and some other people, you had a little trouble hearing it. So I don't know if it was a miking problem or. And like when I rewatched on TV, yeah, the fans were loud, but it didn't feel like it was because the fans were so loud you weren't able to hear you like a Dan Lambert. So I had to rewatch that.
Well, that's annoying. You should be able to hear those promos. That's not good. That's bad mic work. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I said, I don't know if you were lower down, if you heard it better, but that was a problem. And I agree with you 100%. I think Dan Lambert is doing his best version of Jim Cornette. And I think I'd mostly like it more if it was Jim Cornette. But I think the men of the year, I don't know what they're getting from this. I mean, were they on TV as much before he got there? Yes, they did stuff with Darby and Sting, and they wound up getting one win in that feud, and they wound up losing the feud overall. But like you said, Ethan Page is a terrific talker. Scorpio Sky at times is a high level, maybe not the top 10 guy, on the mic, but he could hold his own. And you wonder what the end game is here. Like, if this wasn't at Arthur Ashe Stadium, I think there's a legitimate chance maybe they can win this match, and it sets up more things going down the line. But I think this really could be, besides like MJF facing Brian Pillman, this feels like one of those shows where all the baby faces are going to win. You want to pick, people to be happy. And in that case, the men of the year they're rubbing, noses with the big stars. But I don't know what they're really getting out of it. And you wonder, does anybody truly care about who's not a big MMA fan? Like you're a mid-level MMA fan. Do you care about seeing, Junior Dos Santos or Andre Arlovski or Paige VanZant in the ring? I don't know if the average person even either knows who they are or cares about these, has-beens or never was in UFC, I mean, I think that's kind of the problem.
None of them are in the UFC anymore, right? Are they?
Andre Arlovski's staying somehow, there. I mean, he's terrible.
Didn't they get rid of him?
No, they got rid of him, and then he won a couple of fights outside.
Then he brought him back. Yeah, I don't know. I think it just doesn't do anything for them. And when Dan Lambert's gone, the men of the year are going to be there. And I like the men of the year gimmick. I like that, the idea of it. And I think they could make it something, but it's just Dan Lambert kind of getting some go away heat, and I don't know. I don't think it's great. I really don't. And like, I just don't think I don't, and I don't think it does anything for Paige and Scorpio Sky. I think it does nothing for them. You need a manager for Will Hobbs, right? Mm-hmm. And they've done a good job with Taz and Will Hobbs. They have, although I think he should be a babyface, but whatever. They want all the black guys to be bad guys, but. I think, it would be not. They don't need Paige and Sky to talk, or to. They don't need someone to talk.
Have a mouthpiece, right? Yeah.
They don't need a mouthpiece, and even if they did it where he talked a little bit and then they talked after him, like that'd be fine too.
Right.
Kind of like Paul Heyman and CM Punk, where they both kind of where they both talked, or when Bobby Heenan was a manager for guys back in the day who could talk like Mr. Perfect, where they would still talk and he would talk. Like, that's fine. But, I mean, they didn't say anything at all. Yeah. I didn't even know they were really involved. I mean, because I was like half, like I was watching it and I was like doing other stuff. So I was more listening to it. Right. And it was like, oh, they're there? So I don't know. I just don't think it helps them. And I think they don't, you know, I think AEW is going to have this problem where there's going to be guys who don't have a direction and they're going to have to figure it out. You know, I love CM Punk, but he's there every week. They're going to have to figure out how to maneuver this where guys aren't there every week. We don't need 2.0 every week. Why is 2.0 out there more than Men of the Year are? That's a problem to me.
Now, let me ask you something that I thought about while I was there. And speaking of friends who – I had a friend of mine who went to this show and also the SmackDown show, you know, at Madison Square Garden a couple of days ago. And something we spoke about on the program before, the idea that WWE at times feels more kid-friendly and AEW feels more, you know, to that 18 to 49 demographic.
Oh, yeah. That's so important to absolutely. Yeah.
But here's the question. I felt like being there live, and like, I, of course, I don't have a counter on me, but felt like you had more cursing than ever on this show. Do you think to be edgy, do you think they're relying too much on, you know, Jericho throwing out the S, you know, the S, and no one's saying the F, throwing out F bombs, but, you know, there's so much trying to be edgy with cursing. Do you think it's gone a little bit over the edge? Because I feel like every week they're doing more and more.
I think it's fine. But I do think it's one of those things where it's like blood. It's like hardcore wrestling. It's like anything. You don't want too much of anything or else it kind of loses its appeal. Sure. The first time Daniel Bryan called Don Callis a piece of shit, it was like, okay, that's good. But then he called him that again. And it's like, okay, well, you just said
that. And again, yeah.
So I think, yeah, they have to make sure that they can be edgy, but while not being over the top. And repeating themselves time and time and time and time again. Yeah. So I think they have to figure out that balance. But Tony Khan, to a certain extent, kind of, you know, we know how much you love DCW. And so we know that that's part of kind of what's happening here. So he's got to balance that out. And we also have to remember, they've been a company for two and a half years. So they're still figuring a lot of things out. And I'm hard on AEW, you know that. Especially the Men of the Year thing. I think they're doing a terrible job with it. But that sort of thing where they're trying to figure out cursing and this and that, they're trying to find that balance. And I get they're trying to find that balance. And we'll see where that lands.
Yeah, I just think it's one of those things
You can't have a bunch of crazy cursing all the time. Because it doesn't lose it. You can get a promo over, and listen, Daniel Bryan has had to do this without cursing. You can do it without cursing. I mean, I'm mad on this podcast all the time because of all the stuff we talk about. I curse maybe three times.
So far?
You know? So far, yeah. So
just kidding.
But yeah, I think they'll figure out a balance eventually.
Yeah, I think it's just something to look out for and see how.
And I think they're like, we're not for the kids. Mm-hmm. I think that part is very defined. They're not there for the kids. It is not a kid show. Do not have your kids watch this show, or you can if you want, but we are not catering to that. Mm-hmm. And that's it, right? WWE, they're trying to have big guys, as you said when we talked before, larger than life characters, and AEW is trying to have really good wrestling, good storylines that make sense, edgy stuff that appeals to younger people. And so, you know, we'll see how it goes. But you know, no matter what you want to say, AEW, absolutely, Taylor Heineke, come on. AEW absolutely is affecting how WWE is looking at stuff. 100%. 100%.
We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Jay, so we'll move a little quicker here, of course, but one of the things that was interesting, and I'd love to get your point of view, because it felt like a very old school type of angle, but in 2021, I'm not sure how much it works or how much people care about it. Inside the arena, you got a couple of, you know, cheers or boos for it, but the removing of the face paint of Darby and Sting, and I'm not asking you if you care about, you know, Sting and Darby versus FTR, which, you know, could be fine, could be whatever. What do you think of the actual angle of removing the face paint? Because, like, for me, I feel this is one of those angles back if this was the old, you know, NWA or Mid-South, where the Dastardly heels go to your your big time baby face, or like not to the same level of like removing someone's mask, but, you know, somewhat, you know, removing the face paint, I think meant more back then. I don't know what you think it means now. If you know,
I think it's cool. I the mask thing I don't like because it's overplayed. They do it every match.
And you'll see
I like the face. I like the face paint thing because you're like trying to remove someone's identity. Mm-hmm. From a psychological standpoint, it's like you get strength from this face paint. You get your, you know, who you are. You get that from this face paint. And I'm taking your identity away from you. So I love it. And I like that they haven't done it before. And so I think that made them look even more cowardly and so on and so forth. So I very much enjoyed it.
You did? Okay. I'm surprised now. That's interesting.
Yeah. No, the mask stuff gets annoying because they do it so often with Penta. It's mm-hmm. like, oh my God, every time he's trying to take these guys' masks off. But I'd like the idea of them trying to take their identity away from him, away from them.
Okay. Last couple of things. AEW, Adam Cole live had a monster reaction.
Of course.
He was, I mean, it's amazing. A guy who was, yeah, of course he was in ROH and did a couple of shots with New Japan before he went to WWE. But if you think about it, besides a couple of takeovers, this is like one of his first really big arena shows, you know? I mean, and the way that he came off as a star.
Hold on. He was, when he was in Ring of Honor, and Ring of Honor was a big deal many years ago. Mm-hmm. When he was in Ring of Honor, he led the Kingdom. He was the leader of the Kingdom. Then before he left Bullet Club, he was the kind of Ring of Honor leader of the Bullet Club. He did wrestle in New Japan and on a Wrestle Kingdom show against Kyle O'Reilly. Then he went to NXT and he was the top guy in NXT for a long time. So this isn't like some rando guy. Like, he's been a big time guy for a very long time. When he wrestled Daniel Bryan on SmackDown during that whole thing, the Survivor Series things they were pumping up, it was a big deal. And he got a huge reaction from the crowd. So I don't think this is coming out of nowhere. This is a build of a guy who I have, you know, been a big fan of for a long time.
Future Shock.
And who has developed over many, many years and now has been getting that spotlight in NXT and now is getting that spotlight again in AEW. And I'm excited for him. I'm happy for him. He wrestled a good match, and we'll see what they continue to do with him. Again, he needs to be more of a leading man than a supporting man, and we'll see eventually if that's where it goes. I think that's where it probably will go.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the big show next week. AEW is going to be in Arthur Ashe Stadium in Queens, the first wrestling show to ever be held in Arthur Ashe Stadium, which, if you've ever watched the U.S. Open tennis, it is, I think it's about 19,000 people to fit there. And I think they're going to have about 17,500 or possibly try to figure out a way to get maybe 18,000 people in there. That'll be by far the biggest show they've ever done. So back-to-back weeks with huge crowds.
Also, by the way, before you finish, sure. They were talking to Tony Khan. I think you and I listened to this interview with Meltzer about how he figured out Arthur Ashe Stadium. And he literally Googled Arthur Ashe Stadium. And then he's like, oh, I'm going to go talk to them now. And when you're the son of a
billionaire,
someone who's worth $8.9 billion, people will listen to you, right? And, you know, again, Tony Khan is running a very successful wrestling company too. So anyway, just interesting. It wasn't this big thing or a marketing company. He's like, I just kind of looked him up and saw if maybe we could do a show there. So anyway, sorry to interrupt. Just interesting. Absolutely. Nugget.
Oh, no, absolutely. It was, and you know, if you could figure out a way to listen to it, not saying anybody should pirate anything, or if you, you know, are with the Wrestling Observer newsletter, it was a really interesting interview from a couple of weeks back. But, Jay, so next week they'll be there. It's going to be their biggest show ever. And the thing that they're doing is, and I'd love to get your point of view on this, I don't know if you would call it hot shotting or you're just trying to get the biggest show possible because pay-per-view is the true moneymaker now. Pay-per-view no longer the true moneymaker, even though they had 200,000 apparently buys for the show. What is your thoughts on them doing Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson next week on like a 3-week build, but doing this show for free and not doing it on a pay-per-view, his first match?
I think they're hot-shotting it a little bit. I don't love it. I mean, this is one of the biggest matches they can do, right? And so, I don't know. I don't love it, to be honest with you. But, you know, is it like, oh, my God, is it a disaster? No. Is it – I don't love that they're doing it? Yeah, I don't love that they're doing it. But it is a big match. You know, the Grand Slam show is a pay-per-view-like show. I think that that's been – you know, pretty well established that they're making this seem like a big deal. And if you have a big show, you got to have a big match. You got to have a big main event. And, you know, that's what this is. So, you know, let's see how it works and what they do. But I think it should be a great match regardless.
Yeah. So one thing I find interesting is, like I say, it's a good show. We'll go over the card quickly in a couple of seconds here. But how do you book this? That's what I think is going to be super interesting. I mean, I think there's a very good chance that the last image you see on this show was the return of Hangman Page and the crowd, you know, chanting, you know, cowboy shit. And they go off the air with some sort of, you know, thing, either setting up a three-way at the pay-per-view or setting up, you know, Kenny Omega versus him finally with the long-term storyteller.
No three-way. This should not be a three-way.
I agree.
This is about Page and Omega. And their story for 2 years from being a tag, from all the stuff with the Elite. I'm not saying they won't do a three-way. I think it's a really, really bad idea the story they've been trying to tell for so long.
So, but what do you do here? I mean, do you give Bryan Danielson the non-title match a win, setting up a title shot at Full Gear if, you know, Heyman's not ready to return?
I think that's what it is. I think they don't know if he's going to come back. Probably. Maybe he's told him. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe he's enjoying being a dad. And maybe they're like, hey, if he wins this match and it's September 16th, that's 2 months. Either we could do Daniel Bryan against him for the title, or we could do a three-way, which I don't love, but they could do that. Or we could do Omega against Page. So we have that opens up the options. But if Omega just beats him, mm-hmm. Then that closed. That's it. I mean, he closed the eye. I beat the guy already. So I definitely expect Danielson to win the match and then them figure stuff out from there. It just gives them a lot more options.
I'm kind of on the other way here. I would actually think they have a classic, you know, 20-minute match. Omega wins either by some sort of distraction or clean, and then your final hope is the return of Hangman, and the only person left that he hasn't beaten is, you know, Hangman Page, and that's the way you tell the story, and you build up over the next, you know, 2 months with him reforming the Dark Order or whatever they're doing there, and him getting his life together, maybe stop drinking and everything. But I think that if you're not – I just don't know if you want to go and have Bryan Danielson beat your champion and then – basically wait another 2 months to have that match, or are you having that title match on TV and then...
Well, it doesn't matter. Maybe you have Bryan Danielson beat him and then he wrestles for the title. He beats him next month and then Page makes his return. I just think it gives them options. Mm-hmm. Omega, it's fine if he loses. That's not a big deal. I think it's fine if Danielson loses, but I think the options become more limited.
Yeah,
right. Like if he loses, he can't then challenge him for the title again. So then that's a challenger gone. So then what do you do?
So then do you think it's kind of a mistake them doing this match at this early? Or do you think because you're running Arthur Ashe, you need that dream match? And if you don't have Hangman, that's the next best thing.
I don't love that they're doing the match. I mean, we've discussed. I don't love that they're doing the match. I think that's a mistake. But they are doing it. So knowing that they are doing it, then this is, you know, it. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it'd be interesting how they do it. Just quickly, the other matches on this show, AEW Women's Championship match, Britt Baker versus Ruby Riott. And I would definitely, if I were you, if you get the moment, check out the face-to-face they're going to do on Friday. I really thought it was, I don't know how it'll come off on TV, but the crowd loved it.
Okay.
And I thought it was a really good promo segment between Riott, who you really never heard talk in WWE, and
She talked a little bit.
I don't really remember anything she ever really said on the mic in WWE. Maybe, but you maybe have a better remembrance of
that. I mean, she didn't talk that much, but a little bit. Whenever she did, I was like, they should have her talk more, and then they didn't.
And we saw that on this because she was quite good. What's your thoughts quickly? Do you is it as obvious as I am? Britt Baker wins the match, and Ruby, you know, gets a 2.97, you know, pin attempt, and that's your hope spot? Or do you think that they go with the hot hand and actually maybe take a title off of a Baker and have her basically win it back, you know, pretty quickly?
I don't think they take. I don't think that has not been AEW's booking style traditionally, mm-hmm. So I don't think they'll do that now. And also, if you have, you know, looking at this card here, yeah, no, I don't see that happening. I don't see that. I think Britt Baker retains, and then Ruby Soho can go toward developing some of these other women and maybe get back in a title picture at some point.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's going to be a very good match. I know that some people don't love Britt Baker in ring, but I think she's actually gotten a ton better. Cody Rhodes, a.k.a. Captain America, versus Malakai Black, or at least Cody thinks he's
got the Child Liberty. So,
yeah, exactly.
Give me liberty or give me death. All right.
I think he's actually the more peacemaker from the. I'm not peacemaker. Homelander from the Boys. he thinks he's Captain America, but he's really.
Man, let's not go crazy. Let's not go. But that's pretty. That's pretty.
Listen, some of those promos, you know, he's a little out of touch.
Yeah, but, he's very full of himself.
I hope Malakai Black wins it. I don't know if he will.
I don't think he will. I think Cody will win.
Yeah, and I thought their segment, especially live, I thought the segment they had with that fight, that brawl, I thought was really well done. You know, one of my all-time crushes, Rosario Dawson, got involved.
She looked great.
FTR versus Darby and Sting. You would hope FTR wins, but you know, the baby faces, you know, usually win on these big shows. But
yeah, they're gonna. Darby Allin and Sting are the -250 favorites. They're very heavy favorites.
MJF versus Brian Pillman Jr. I think will be a fun match, but I do think MJF will win. I think the way that
Corey, what they've done though, MJF literally did a promo, like talking about Brian Pillman Sr. in the grave. Like he was talking to him in the grave.
In hell.
Like, from that. And Ross saying, you got to beat him. I don't know. Maybe you're right, but God, I don't know.
I hope you're right. I mean, it's just weird that it's hard to think that MJF's going to lose two big matches back to back, you know, after losing.
But he can. Who needs to win more?
True.
Nice. Pillman Jr. needs to win a lot more. MJF is fine if he loses. It might make his heel persona even better.
Right. It's very true. Oh, and the last match, which I think was made official afterwards, but I'm sure it will be made sooner or later. Suzuki Gunn versus Eddie and John Moxley.
They talked about that one. They talked about that on TV.
Oh, okay. I think that's going to be really fun. And that's, I guess, the last thing I would say about AEW. The reaction that Eddie Kingston got was phenomenal. And I love the fact what John Moxley did, where he basically pulled him at one point at the entrance and was like, look at this. People actually love you. Because that's one of the things that you've heard in a lot of interviews, that Eddie Kingston doesn't truly get the idea that he's actually like over in any way. Like he just thinks, I'm here, I'm helping out, and that's it. So I thought that was kind of cool. But on paper, this looks like a really solid show for a big time event.
Yeah. No, it's a very good show, and I love, the idea of the Moxley Suzuki match was great, but it didn't have a lot of time. I don't know. I just didn't love
Suzuki incident. Yeah,
and the Suzuki. I just didn't love the whole idea of that match. I mean, I was excited for it, but I don't know. I thought I was a little disappointed. I'm really excited for the tag match because I think they are just going to beat the shit out of each other, and that's what it needs to be. But they need to give it time. And will they be able to give it? Apparently, I'm going to sit down interview with CM Punk. So it's going to be match, right? So how do they figure all that out? It'll be a wild ride for sure.
Yeah,
and maybe Corey will be live tweeting it. You know, maybe
at Let's Talk AW, very possibly.
There it is.
I could be going to work. I don't know. I think that's the following be doing overnight. But last thing on AW, what do you think of the idea? And I understand it's a big show, but the idea that AW Rampage next week is going to be a 2-hour show. Do you think this is a test run to go 10 to 12 every week? Or do you think it's just a one-off? And how do you feel about the idea of AW being 2 times a week, basically Raw SmackDown, where both shows could be 2 hours?
First question, I think it's a one-off, but I also think it's a test at the same time. I think it's we're going to do this big show, and if it does really well, we'll see. Corey, they just have so many guys. True. I mean, right? They almost have to do a 2-hour show. So now you could say that will water things down, but maybe that's where you get rid of Darker Elevation. Maybe you get rid of one of them, or maybe one of them becomes a true developmental brand. Like, it's all developmental guys. It's no Moxley, no and any of those guys. But so I think it could be kind of either. I think it's kind of a combo, right? Nothing is everything. So it's a one-time deal for now. But if it pops, maybe we do it again. Another 2-hour show in a couple months. And then this time next year, every show is 2 hours. And yeah. I mean, 2 2-hour shows is not bad.
I'm saying 10 p.m. to midnight on a Friday night is
Corey. I mean, listen, they do a 10 p.m. show. Who cares? People DVR these shows. Who's sitting there at 10 o'clock watching these shows live? People DVR stuff. That's the society. What we live in. So I think it's fine. I don't mind that. And I think with the people they have on their roster, they could do two 2-hour shows, I think, and have them be pretty decent. So now, also, if they are thinking about doing 2 2-hour shows, that means they're going to have to get more guys too, right? They're going to have to get more guys. And so a lot of these NXT guys, they might be gone at some point. So we'll see. We'll see exactly what happens.
Yeah, it'll be interesting as more guys become available. And if there are more cuts, how many get, you know, brought over, you know, we'll see what happens. But Jay, a lot of interesting conversation this week. I think it's around that time where I take a 30 seconds to go and rest my voice and let people know how they can follow us for the next few weeks and that other new podcast that might be coming around.
Well, I'll let you talk about that. We are at Work Shoot Pod. We've got a couple of episodes left. And we'll talk about it as we go. You know, it's been a great, great journey with you over these past. I mean, you know, we talked about the show, doing the show before I on my way to meeting my wife for my first date, funny enough. And we've been together 8 years. So we have 2 babies coming soon. So it's been an interesting journey with the two of us doing this show. And we got a couple more episodes left. So it's not over yet, folks. We got a couple more episodes left. And Corey's got a really exciting venture coming up that I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes. I think I'm going to be involved as some type of creative consultant / correspondent. Corey, why don't you tell people more about like what this is going to be, who might be on this bad boy, what you've thought about with it. Tell people everything.
Sure. So the show is called Let's Talk About Elite Wrestling, or otherwise known as Let's Talk AEW, which is also the Twitter handle. at Let's Talk AW. I'm sure an Instagram page will be coming shortly as I beg and plead Jackie Endy to do even more work. But it's going to be a show that will be different from this show. We're going to be focusing, if there's a big news story, we'll talk about that, but it will be more about what's the hot product right now. AEW, we're talking about Dynamite, talking about Rampage. We'll be talking about the idea of how do you balance all of these big names and the names that have were there for the first 2 years that built this company into a relevant idea. You know, we're going to be talking to hopefully a lot of different people. Hopefully Jason Brooks, the backbone of the Workshop Wrestling Podcast, will be able to come on and carry me a little bit more like any human wheelbarrow would do. And but we'll try to get, you know, maybe some new fresh names out there or some names from the past. Felipe from the Total Basis Podcast, hopefully will be joining us every once in a while. Christopher Moore from the Moran's Law Podcast. Trying to get, you know, some bigger name guests like the Keith Elliott Greenberg, who we had on a few weeks back. And maybe even some voices you don't know, you know, seeing some people online via Twitter, trying to make some connections there and trying to get some fresh voices and different takes. I mean, even maybe having some, you know, non-wrestling fans who will watch for the first time and give their thoughts as a first person point of view. Spoke about having, you know, a Jackie Endy from the You Don't Know Jackie podcast on to actually, you know, do more than just the great work she does on Instagram, actually sit through one episode and see what her thoughts are, you know, get that outsider's perspective. I think those are some interesting things we could do. Maybe get a little bit more in the social media space when it comes to a little bit more writing involved and different things. That's where I'm hoping maybe Jason, if something creative comes up with him, he'll write something, which something actually we thought about when we first did this podcast, you know, do something like the WordPress type of thing. It just kind of fell off the deep end of all the things that we were doing. But Let's Talk About Wrestling is going to be a new podcast that should be
coming. Boy, I got babies and gambling to do. So I don't, we'll see about writing. But.
All right. So that's about a plus 3,000 for,
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fall, you know, we'll see when football season's over is when things would open up for me. And right. Hopefully the babies will have some type of sleep schedule. So maybe I could do a tiny bit of writing as my wife.
Well, if the Packers play the way they played week one, okay, I think you might have some time. I'm only kidding. Hey,
you guys lost too. You guys did look good, but whatever.
But Jay, that's the new idea. Let's talk about AEW, and let's see what else goes along in the industry. You know, we'll keep on looking at NXT 2.0, see where that is, see if something actually interesting happens on WWE Main, if there's a big story, which, you know, our last subject today, which we'll be talking about in a moment. But Jay, there's another podcast that we talk about, part of the FAMDU network. Do you remember the comedy podcast that I'm talking about?
You Don't Know Jackie. You Don't Know Jackie. Jackie Andy, Jackie Rachel, Jackie Corey. The Never heard comedy of. Podcast for the ages.
Very cool. We just put out episode 101 talking about Pretty Little Liars. Pornhub ideas, a lot of different. I don't. Hey, the ladies brought up a topic. I just sat there and went, I don't know what porn is. I've never heard of it. I tried to play the good boy, which I'm sure was a lie in many different ways. But you know, another. We've done 100. This is the start to the next 100. Oh my God! Hopefully that doesn't happen because I might lose my mind if that's the case. If Insecure ever comes back, which I'm sure it will be, you know, some point this year or so.
Yeah, definitely. This is the last season.
Okay, and we'll have to talk about that quite a bit, you know. But You Don't Know Jackie, like you said, anywhere you listen to podcasts, give us a review. We'll definitely bring it up on the show. Doing a lot of interesting things there, you know, even thinking about more ideas for podcasts as we go, and we'll let you know what those are.
Ooh, October 24th. Insecure returns.
Ooh, very nice. We might have to do a preview for the final season, and that might be the last time we actually.
I'll get invited on the Jackie podcast.
It's an open invitation if you're not eating dinner at that time. Inside joke, but Jay, loved doing this. Five more or so left of these podcasts, but the final subject of the day before we both sit back and watch a little pretty terrible Thursday night football. Don't know how that game's going right now. Hopefully Barkley's run for like four touchdowns. Big E Langston, former NXT champion, one of their truly developmental stars. And this is what I think the new NXT 2.0 is supposed to find, the next Big E. What was your thoughts on Big E winning the title and the impact of another African-American champion, which we spoke about many times here on AEW, needs to do a better job with that. But WWE, having many problems ahead, but they once again step up and put the, I don't know if we love the idea of Bobby Lashley losing the title, but the idea of Big E winning it and what you think this could mean.
I think it's pretty fantastic. I mean, Raw's horrible, so they needed something to happen. I mean, they need better writing and stories and everything. So Lashley isn't necessarily, or Big E isn't necessarily going to change things 180 degrees, but he's a fresh face to be the champion. I think he can be an interesting champion for sure. I hope they book him right. I don't know for sure that they will, but I do know Vince is a big fan of his. So if Vince is a big fan of his, that means he might look out for him. And so maybe he holds the title till, I don't know if he holds it till WrestleMania, but I think he holds the title for a little bit. I don't think this is going to be, he has a title and then he's gone quickly. So, you know, they can do some interesting things with him. So hopefully they do.
Now, this statement is going to sound like a backhanded compliment or not even a compliment, but, and it's not because they're both African-American, but I really do hope that they book Big E better than they booked Kofi as champion.
I mean, that's, you know? Not even, yeah. I mean, because, you know, back to African-American, you know, they booked Lashley very strong, right? So,
absolutely. Yeah.
Now, I think one of the differences, honestly, is that Big E's big. And I think Vince books big guys better. And I think that's been proven over the years, how Mysterio was booked for a long time, right? And so he's booked big guys better over the years. So hopefully he does that with Big E. I think he will, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be really interesting on what they do going forward. And I think this is the perfect opportunity that I know the last couple of years for Survivor Series, they went and had champion versus champion. But I think that, and you don't have to put the titles on the New Day in the next month or so, but I think it will be a super hot angle if you have Bloodline with Roman Reigns and the Usos versus the New Day as your headliner for Survivors. I think that could be, I'm not saying it's going to change.
Well, that would be better, cool. But. Yeah, that would be cool. That'd be interesting to see if they do that. And that could be an inter-promotion or inter-Raw or SmackDown, so they don't have to, you know, one doesn't have to be on Smack, you know, they could both be on different brands too, so they could still kind of have that. So that'd be interesting.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's great the fact that, and for me personally, because like I said, it's not who I am, but I don't care that Big E is African-American to get a title. I think Big E's worked hard over the last, you know, I think he's been in the company now for a decade. And you like seeing good people and hard workers, you know, doing something good. And, you know, it's one of those things where he's one of those guys, and you've learned more because of his relationship with Brody Lee and Brody's son on how much he's loved in this business. And you didn't hear anybody say anything bad about him when he won the title.
Which no, always yeah. And, and listen, I mean, I know we do the thing where people don't see race or whatever, but it's a big deal that he's a champion.
Oh no, absolutely! Yeah. I'm just saying
it's a big deal, and I think, you know, he's really grinded his way to this title.
Absolutely,
and you could say he should have had the title sooner, maybe, but I think it's he's a great person to have the title. I think he's someone who is beloved by the fans. He's done great community work. He seems like the nicest guy ever. Everybody loves him. He's a quirky guy, which is funny. But he's also a very funny. I think he's perfect. My wife's all. I always look at her as a good barometer because like she doesn't really like wrestling that much. She's fine with it, but she like loves Big E. She's like, he seems like a great guy, and he's really funny, and he's gigantic and kills people. It's like that's, you know what I mean. He's charismatic, so it's like he has the total package. And let's see if they give him the ball and let him run with it, or if he's booked in a bunch of really stupid shit.
Yeah, let's hope the fact, and this is to be, we're going to be saying goodbye after this. Let's just hope the fact that he's so good with comedy and he has comedy, you know, chops, that they don't book him as a comedy champion and they book him somewhere in between Bobby Lashley and Kofi, with, you know, Bobby being the super badass killer, but also the idea that, you know, you can do fun stuff with Big E. So, you know, because like the big knock on him, and I know it was part of the motivational thing from Paul Heyman when he was on SmackDown to get him to that next level, was like the idea that no one's going to buy you as champion because you're too comedic. And I just want to see how Vince, Pritchard, and everyone else balances that out with this new champion in Big E. I think that's going to be fascinating over the next couple of months to see.
We will see.
Well, Jay, we covered a lot of things. I believe 5 more episodes left of this fun time. Definitely, you know, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at WorkShootPod, and my new venture, Let's Talk AEW. But Jay, as always, the final word for the next few times will always be yours.
I think we're done here. See ya.